Welcome to You Are From God, brought to you by the West Mason Church of Christ. My name is Scott Taylor.
And I'm Tyler Hall. Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of You Are From God. If you've been listening to recent episodes, we are going through the book of Ephesians, and today we're going to be looking at chapter 3. Depending on what you're doing right now, if you're just sitting at home or are able to pull out a Bible, you know, sometimes people will listen to podcasts while they're mowing the yard or driving, so certainly don't, you know, read while you're doing those things, safety first and all that. But even if it's afterward, we encourage you to go back and read these words for yourself. We are striving as much as we can in this podcast to go to God's Word as the source of life and all things that we're teaching and striving to learn from. So when you get into the book of Ephesians, now we're kind of into the heart of the book in chapter 3. We've talked about all the blessings we have in Christ. We talk about this idea that we've had this drastic change, as we just talked about last episode in chapter 2, that we were dead and now we're alive. We need to remember this incredible change that's happened, that now God is building us into this incredible structure that he has designed. And Paul will call this in chapter 3, Scott, a mystery. So you begin here, Paul's basically expressing, because of all these incredible great blessings, this is the reason that I've become a prisoner on behalf of Christ Jesus. And as we know from the end of the letter as well, Paul's writing this from prison. So this incredible, the wealth and the riches and the power that he's been talking about through these first three chapters is this incredibly positive, you know, high energy. Yes, this is great. It's so encouraging, and yet he's writing it from prison. Just shows you a little bit of the mindset of this is Paul strictly being a mouthpiece. He is not caught up in his circumstances. He is serving the Almighty God. And so in verse 3, he'll say, "The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I have written briefly." When you read this, talking about this letter that he's written from prison, "You can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. This mystery is that the Gentiles are fellow heirs, members of the same body, and partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel." So, Scott, it's just fascinating when we see the word mystery. It's like Sherlock Holmes or, you know, wanting this, you know, murder mystery dinner theater, whatever. It's like, ooh, we don't know what the... Oh, wait, he just told us what the mystery is. But some people will come to this and still struggle, like, what's the mystery? Oh, I know what the mystery is. You don't know what the mystery is. You need to study more. Paul, if you can read, you understand the mystery. He says that in verse 4. When you read this, you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ. What's the mystery? Verse 6. Everyone has the opportunity to be. This has been God's plan from the beginning, he goes on to say, that this is God's desire of his heart is to bring all people, whether Jew or Gentile, back into the fold, back into the family. He says in verse 7 that he's a minister of this gospel according to God's grace. And he says, even though I'm the least of saints in verse 8, that I'm going to be able to do this to preach the unsearchable riches that you all are now able to enjoy. This is what I find fascinating, Scott. Verse 10, so that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. Scott, the church is not a plan B. It's not a kind of a cobbled together thing that Jesus established until he comes back and does something else. This was the plan from the beginning. It says in verse 11 that this was according to the eternal purpose that God had realized in Christ Jesus. So when we understand the way that the Bible presents this body of believers, the church, it is not an accident. It is not man's idea. This is fully 100% God's design, displaying his full wisdom for all to see. People, absolutely, yes, but even heavenly rulers and authorities is what he'll say in this context.
You know, it's interesting how you say that, because the reality is there are people that are listening to this podcast that do not agree. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to talk about, the idea that the mystery is so clear in the scriptures and to us. And I think the difficulty with that is that part. We read this and we can read the rest of the story and we get the full revelation and we can understand what is going on. To the Jewish people, and their understanding of this mystery was a shock mm-hmm. to many of them. Not whether it should have been or not is another conversation, but they were absolutely misunderstanding or not fully understanding what it meant that the Gentiles were going to be fellow heirs. Even if they understood that the Gentiles were going to have the opportunity for salvation, the fact that it calls them fellow heirs is just a crazy, powerful statement for them to hear and have to believe. And it's the same for us. And the fact, as you said, the church is not a substitute. It wasn't that Jesus came and was not listened to and he was killed, and so there was a substitute put in, the stopgap that people would try to call it. The church was put in. This was his eternal purpose that was carried out in Christ Jesus. This is nothing to do with some sort of an accident or this idea that Jesus was not listened to the first time. It was the reality that that was the whole point. This was the victory that we have was found in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, and that we can have confidence in verse 12, access through our faith in him. The idea that this was the whole purpose, the whole opportunity that we have is so powerful and so awesome, so much so that Paul is able to write this letter of encouragement while sitting in prison, to your point, and how powerful that is. That was the whole purpose of why he was willing to go through these things, understanding what it brought to other people, specifically those that he's writing here in Ephesus, the idea of being fellow heirs to Jesus Christ and the fact that you and I have the same opportunity.
Yeah, it's to hear him say that. I think this is where some of the confusion will come in, right? That it's not made known as it was to the other generations. God, through the entire history that's recorded for us in the scripture from the beginning of time up until the end of this era now when we have the Bible, you see this incredible gradual revelation that God's going to speak directly to man, then he's going to use the prophets, then he's going to send his son, then the Spirit's going to come and directly interact when the Spirit's already been doing some things throughout the whole process. It's not that he shows up late to the party or anything. This is incredible thing is to what he says in verse 5. It wasn't made known to the sons of men in other generations as it has been now revealed to the holy by the prophets and the apostles by the Spirit. It's very similar to 1 Peter chapter 1 where Peter will say concerning the salvation in verse 10, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them it was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, and the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things in which angels long to look. That is, if that doesn't blow your mind and make you think bigger than just, you know, what you're having for lunch today or what's going on this week, then I don't know what else will. These are things that we have, that we can read, that we can study, that we can know, that celestial spiritual beings desired more than anything to look into. And so for us to understand and to read this has to be humbling, and we have to take advantage of it. This, Scott, all ushers into this idea that Paul, again, in the midst of prison, that he's asking them in verse 13 not to lose heart over the fact that he's in prison, that he's suffering this way for the gospel. But in fact, now he's going to pray for them. So you talk about, we need to be praying for you, Paul, you're in prison. He says, let me pray for you first.
Yeah, it's so fascinating, and just to add a point to what you were just saying, it's amazing how often we try to figure out what this mystery is, even though he tells us what the mystery is.
Yeah.
And then in verse 10, to your point, the idea that the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places, I mean, this is beyond anything or our comprehension, as we'll go on and talk about. It's just amazing to think about how powerful this is. And we're given this little understanding of the fact that all men have the opportunity to be fellow heirs. And we struggle with that part. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so awesome to see his grace, his mercy, and his love that he's so long-suffering for us or with us. And the idea of, as in this case, the opportunity that we have to be his fellow heirs is so powerful. And getting back to what you were talking about, picking up in verse 14, you just read this prayer, and it's just absolutely beautiful. It says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen.
Man, there's so much to unpack here, but what I'm struck with just reading this prayer, Scott, is, again, it's similar to chapter 1 at the end, that he is praying for them for a couple of aspects, but one that's that they would understand, to comprehend. His prayers, I want you to realize what kind of position you're in. You're not at a disadvantage. You're not You know, you might be persecuted, but you're not destroyed. This is where you are. You need to understand the breadth and length and height and depth, the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. How am I supposed to know a love that surpasses knowledge? Well, we have our whole lives to figure it out, and then we still will be blown away by the end of it. To know who God is and the relationship we have with Him, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. What? Again, it's not because I'm worthy, as we've talked about in a previous episode. It's because God has made us worthy, that we should be able to understand, that we have the opportunity to understand, that according to the riches of His glory, that He is going to grant us everything we need. He's giving us strength to endure the things that we go through in this life, that Christ is going to dwell with us, that He's going to walk through every aspect of this life with us, and that we have a firm hope, a knowledge, a surety to realize that God's love is bigger than anything that we could try to measure. Scott, we have been studying in one of the classes here about the book of Zechariah, and admittedly, it can be a challenging book from the standpoint that there's a lot of apocalyptic illustrations and figurative visions that are used, especially towards the beginning of the book, and these night visions that Zechariah has. But one of them, there's this man who's going to go measure Jerusalem, and some of the angels are like, you need to go stop that guy and tell him that he's going to waste his time. Why? Because Jerusalem's not going to be about physical dimensions. Jerusalem's going to be a spiritual reality when the Messiah comes, that it's not going to be something that you can measure, to the point here that you're not going to be able to measure the love of God, that it's so much bigger. And the point in Zechariah is God's going to dwell with His people. He's going to be the wall about them. He's going to be what sets them apart. And that's the incredible realization that we have, that anyone, all of us, can have that same relationship today.
That's the amazing thing about verse 20. The idea that God is able to do beyond all that we ask or even think. You know, we struggle so often putting God in a box, is the way that I'll phrase it. And the idea for you and I of truly at least appreciating the fact that He can do more things that you can even think of. I mean, this is beyond imagination. This is beyond the things that we can ask. He is far and above beyond us. And He tells us that we can be rooted and grounded in His love, that He was willing to send His Son to die for us, that He is willing and wanting us to be fellow heirs, not just He was willing to save us, which is awesome in and of itself, that we have the opportunity to be fellow heirs of His is just truly amazing. And you think about, I mean, there's so many things to talk about. Verse 15, from every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Just the understanding of what we really have the potential to have in common, the same Creator, the same Father, and it's our choice. You and I have the choice of whether or not we're going to follow Him. And the fact that we can have the same, according to the power that works within us, that we can have the ability to have Him in us, and the understanding of how powerful He is just truly absolutely awesome. The question is, as always, Tyler, whether or not we're truly taking advantage of that, whether or not we're truly founded upon His foundation of who He is, as He talks about at the end of chapter 2, and the idea of the opportunity that we have to be His child is just so powerful. And hopefully, if we can help you with that, we would love the opportunity. If you have questions, you know, please let us know. But if, I mean, just anything that you can do, just meditate on these words and make sure that we're living by them.
Yeah, and certainly pray this for yourself. Take Paul's words and make them your own. You know, God, I want to bow my knees before You, the understanding that You're where every family, my family, me, all of our names come from. It's from You. That You can strengthen me with Your power through Your Spirit in my inner being, that Christ would dwell in my heart through faith, understanding what that faith looks like, the fact that we have a part to play in that, to accept that incredible gift, and the fact that we can have the strength to comprehend the reality that we all can live in. You know, Scott, when you look at these first three chapters of Ephesians that we've gone through now, Paul is just driving point this home, that if you are in Christ, you have more than enough. You have everything you could possibly need. And there's so many times where even Christians will struggle and say, well, if I just had this thing, if I had X, or if I had Y, or if just this one thing was different. Paul says, it doesn't matter. I'm sitting in prison. I'm not needing, though. I'm not wanting. I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. He'll write in another letter, also from prison. But this is so incredible that he spelled out, we have every spiritual blessing. That wall, dividing wall of hostility has been taken down. We're no longer divided, but we're united in Christ. We have the mystery of God's whole purpose throughout the entire expanse of all human history from the very beginning revealed to us. This is God's purpose and plan. We have the church that we can be a part of. You are blessed. If you are in God's family, you are blessed no matter what you're going through in your season of life right now. Now, Scott, when we get into these next three episodes where we talk about chapters 4 through 6, he's going to transition, and now he's going to talk about what it looks like to walk with the realization. When you understand this, when this hits home and really makes a difference in your life, then it's going to make for a different kind of living, a different lifestyle, and it's going to come out in the way that we live and act and think and do things. Again, for this episode, we're going to wrap up. We thank you so much for listening. If you ever have a question or want to get in touch with us, ask us the questions. If you have spiritual matters that you'd like to discuss with us, we certainly would love to hear from you. You can reach out to us on our website, westmasonchurchofchrist.org. Contact us there on the contact box. There's lots of other information, sermons, articles there that you can find as well. You can also give us a phone call, 513-398-9607. Again, that's 513-398-9607. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of You Are From God.